ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around telling him he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 136 of the report, and right now we are listening to some fucking Boys to Men, man. And it's so appropriate right now. It's so appropriate right now. So let's rock back out to this Boys to Men and Brian McKnight.
Come over here and help me trim the tree.
Going on, everybody. Once again, welcome to the Span Report Podcast, man. And it's snowing outside here in the D, man. So this is more than appropriate to listen to Boys to Men sing so harmonically about snow when I hate the fucking snow. I hate snow, man. I hate it. I used to love it as a kid. I hate this shit now. So yeah, man, I gotta like kind of bring it in to where I could feel a little bit better about it, man. And they sound so harmonic and shit. So yeah, let's go ahead and, you know, let that shit ride. But what's going on with y'all, man? It's been a week since the last time I talked to y'all. There's been a lot of stuff going on, as always, right? And of course, we gonna talk about that shit right here at the Span Report. But before I do, I gotta let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard, man. Hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. I'll play them here on the show and respond to them right here on the show as well. You can also email me at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Send me those emails, and of course, I'll read those emails here live on the show as well. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms, of course, is Mr_Span. So go ahead and follow me there. We can chop it up throughout the week. And also, like the Mr. Span fan page on Facebook, man. Be alerted when I go live. Oh shit, I'm not doing it live on Facebook no more. But you can go there and like the Mr. Span fan page, man. I'll try to send links and some of the stuff that I talk about throughout the week over to the Mr. Span fan page. And for those of you who want to watch the show live, you can go to the Mr. Span, the Span TV or the Span Report channel. Go to the Span Report channel on YouTube, subscribe to the show, be alerted when I go live, and all of that. You can watch replays of the show all of that, man. You can participate in the chat room that's going on right alongside the live show, man. Everything is available at YouTube. So you can go there, youtube.com, subscribe to the Spam Report, and you can be a part of this as we do the show live. And for all of your Spam Report needs, go to www.thespamreport.com. You can go there, buy the t-shirts. You can go there and donate. You can go there and actually watch the show on YouTube. On the Spam Report. All of the videos that I have associated with the episodes are also available on thespamreport.com, man. Vote in the polls, leave comments, all of that stuff. Everything is available for you at thespamreport.com, man. So go ahead and do that. It is greatly appreciated for all of you who do, right? And I still got Boys to Men like kind of in the background. Shut up, y'all. Yeah, man. So, it's been about a week, man. It's been quite a few things that have been going on, man. Of course, I do want to talk about this snow. This snow has kind of been a thing over the course of the last couple days, man, here in Detroit or in the Detroit area. We've had like a blast of cold. We had a blast of cold, and then we've had the blast of snow. So over the course, it's been snowing for about 18 hours now. We've had about 6 or 7 inches of snow drop here in the area, man. And I am not a fan of the snow. I am not. Now, I know a lot of you will say, yo, Span, you live in Michigan. You know, it's kind of a given every winter that it's going to snow, buddy. You got to kind of get over it. Every year you're going to go through this, man. Why do you keep complaining? Like, look here, man, just because I live in fucking Michigan and it snows every year, I don't have to like it. Okay, a lot of y'all who like really like the snow, y'all like the snow because y'all don't really, really, really have to deal with the snow in the way that I have to deal with the snow. Some of y'all don't have to move the snow. Somebody shovels your snow for you or snow blows your snow for you. Some of y'all don't have to shovel the shit. Some of y'all don't have to worry about walking in it or trying not to slip and fall on the snow and the slick ice and whatnot. You don't have to worry about that kind of shit. Some of y'all just like really looking at the snow. Like, it looks so pretty. You know, it's Christmas time. It looks so pretty. It's so festive. Nah, fuck that shit. Nah, I got to deal with that every day. Your man Span works outside, man. I work outside. And because I work outside, man, I am dealing with that every day, all day. I hate the snow. Real talk. So I'm going to really need some of y'all to stop being Captain fucking Obvious about the fact that, yeah, it snows every year in Michigan. Yeah, I know this. Let me do this. Let me do me, man. Let me complain. Let me have that. Can I have that? This helps me cope with the bullshit that is this snow that is descended upon us. Can I have that one modicum of respect? Like, yo, let Span vent about this bullshit, even though he know he can't do nothing about it. This is how I cope, bruh. Let me have that. Let me have at least that. All these motherfuckers out here talking about some, yeah, man, you know, I don't know why you surprised. You know where you live at. Man, shut the fuck up. I hate you motherfuckers, man. So, yeah, man, it's cold in the D right now. It is cold in the D. I hate the snow, and we're supposed to get some more, man. And I haven't had to deal with it a whole hell of a lot yet, although I did have to clean off my car a couple times, man, and I cleaned off my wife's car before she actually, went out to do whatever it was that she was going to do. But, yeah, man, I hate the snow. I hate this shit. I wish, like, global warming is a real thing, but the one thing that global warming has not done for your man Span is gotten rid of the goddamn snow. I hate this shit, right? So, yeah, man, we've been dealing with that. But another thing happened, man, something very interesting, and I know some of y'all may be surprised by what I got to tell y'all, right? Now, as you guys know, I'm a big Android guy, right? I love my Android phones. I like customizing them. I like making them personal to me. I feel like they're more powerful devices than, you know, the iPhone. I feel like the iPhone is a bit overhyped. I feel like the iPhone is kind of bringing up the rear as far as like bringing in new features and stuff like that. Like, they just got waterproofing. Like, they just got stereo speakers and all of that shit, right? And with all that being said, your man Span now has an iPhone. Oh, shit. God damn it. I turned the damn thing. This is fucked up. I completely messed that up. I didn't realize that song was still playing. But yeah, I got an iPhone. Right? So yeah, man, I got a new iPhone. And I got the iPhone from work, right? So the job decided that it was going to be a good idea to give a bunch of guys who work in a construction setting new iPhones and new OtterBoxes and stuff like that. And I got to say, man, everything that I felt about the iPhone up to this point has kind of rang true with the fact that I got this iPhone now. And to be quite honest with y'all, man, I have actually sincerely thought about getting an iPhone for myself just so that I can, like, see if my prejudices against the iPhone were valid, right? Because the only experience I really had with an iPhone or something similar was the iPod Touch that I used to have years ago. So I'm pretty sure some things have changed about the, you know, iOS and stuff like that and whatnot. But I've just always kind of felt like the iPhone was a bit limiting in a lot of the things that you can do with your smartphone. And so the job decided that they was going to give us all fucking iPhone 6S's. And, like, it was funny because all the dudes at the job, like, it was funny, man. Like, all these cats all of a sudden, like, oh, shit, we can FaceTime each other now. Like, so you got goofy-ass 40-year-old, 30-year-old dudes walk around, like, FaceTiming each other like they had never spoken to each other ever in life. It was crazy. But, yeah, man, I get an opportunity to test out the iPhone, but I do get to do this on somebody else's dime. Before, I was thinking about doing it on my dime. And my wife kind of talked me out of it because she was like, you know what, baby? I know you like to, like, customize your phone, like put new keyboards and testing new apps and stuff like that. You're not going to like that iPhone because some of the stuff that you like doing is not going to let you do unless you jailbreak it. And I'm not trying to have to go through all that to do that shit right out of the box, right? So, yeah, I got the iPhone. And I'm going to, over the course of the next year, try to give, you know, run it through its paces or whatever to a limit because it is still a company phone. I'm not trying to do any personal shit on that phone. So, yeah, that is a thing. I got to work. I got an iPhone, man. Like, I know that's just not how I roll. But it is what it is at this point, man. We're going to see how that works out. The one good thing about that, though, is I can subscribe to the Spare Report on iTunes on that phone, and I can see how quickly you guys give me those 5-star reviews because I would really, 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 really like you guys to give me those 5-star reviews, man, real talk. So, yeah, that is the underlying silver lining in me getting an iPhone, right? Now, another thing, man, I was kind of thinking about over the course of this last week, man, and because me and my wife, sometimes we sit up, we watch a lot of television, I'm wondering, how in the hell are they still coming out with new episodes of Undercover Boss? Like, how are they doing it? Like, there are new episodes of Undercover Boss coming on CNBC all the time, right? And like, I asked this question on Facebook and somebody was like, I think my man Stacy was like, yo, they got a lot of jobs, right? And it's not even so much about there being a lot of jobs. The one thing that I noticed after watching Undercover Boss for as long as the show has been on television, I'm surprised that it's still on, is the fact that they always have a boss who has the same fucking cover story. All of their cover stories is like, yo, we got this new guy coming in to work with us. He's a contestant on this new reality show that nobody's fucking heard of. And he's going to be working with us for the day. And then he's got this obvious ass costume where, like, you could tell his mustache is fake. You could tell his hair isn't really that long. It just looks, it looks funny, right? And then they always pair the boss with a couple of different people. They pair the boss with a problem employee who's out there being egregiously over the bounds of employment and everything else, like just all sorts of violations, like cussing people out, not doing things by procedure, and all this sort of stuff, right? And then it's either that or they'll pair him with an employee who has absolutely no problem telling a complete fucking stranger all of their business. Right? So they'll get the boss and they'll have him working with everybody. And then he'll get with like some lady who has 3 kids at home and she's suffering from breast cancer and she really can't afford her chemotherapy treatments. And, you know, the mortgage needs to be paid. It's this really fucked up story. But it's also one of those stories that you don't really tell a stranger right off the bat. Right? And they always have these, it's always this, well, he's going to pay for them to go to college, or he's going to pay all their medical bills, or he's going to pay for their mortgage, or buy them a new home, after he finds out about their story. And then, like, everybody lived happily ever after. And we know goddamn well that ain't how the world works, right? But I'm still wondering, how are people still falling for this? How are people still falling for the undercover boss? I couldn't imagine. I could not imagine the CEO of the company that I work for showing up at my job site and us not knowing who he was. Right? I just could not imagine it. Because I've seen that guy. He smells like money. Remember old boy from like, what was that, Paid in Full? Like, man, Big Money Mitch, man. You boy smell like money. That's how the CEO of my company, he smells like money. I met the guy. He smells like fucking money. Right? So, yeah, man, undercover boss, y'all ain't fooling nobody, man. Y'all ain't fooling nobody. I'm amazed that that show is still on television, right? Now, one other thing that kind of came up over the course of this week that I wanted to talk about, man, and this is something that has popped up over the last few days, man, is this Blessing Loom scam, right? Now, I'm sure some of you guys have heard about the Blessing Loom scam, even though a lot of your friends who may be sharing this with you haven't called it this. But the Blessing Loom scam is one of those things where it's a Ponzi scheme, right? And so what your friends are telling you when you see, you've seen this before, your friends are hitting you up on Facebook and they're like, yo, if you got $100 and a PayPal account, I could turn your $100 into $800 right now. Right? Sounds too good to be true. Chances are it kind of is. Right? But the key to a whole lot of these Ponzi schemes, man, is that some people do get paid. And when those some people do get paid, that means that adds legitimacy. That everybody all of a sudden starts to like, well, shit, I got a shot, right? And so they'll put their money up, and then they'll try to get other people to put their money up. I'm seeing people on my Facebook timeline right now who are evangelizing this shit over the last couple of days, man. Evangelizing. I'd have seen it go from like, if you put up $100, then you'll get $800. I done seen it go from, if you put up $25, you'll get $200. We got slots open. You can't do this with people that are strangers. You got to make sure you do it with your friends. Now, here's the thing, man. If I have to make sure that I'm doing this with people that I trust, something is wrong here, right? Something is wrong here. There is a potential for some people to get hurt with this, right? Now, I'm not about the business of like knocking people's hustles, right? But I am going to knock the hustle of straight up scamming folks. And it's real sketchy to me that this scheme becomes a popular thing around the holidays, especially around Christmas time, where you got folks who are trying to not only buy gifts, but to try to keep, make ends meet, man. Like, shit, rent still has to be paid. You know, the lights bill still has to be paid. Your cable bill and your cell phone bill, all of these things still have to be paid. On top of you trying to do a little bit extra for your kids, for your significant other, for your parents or whomever, right? And so it's really sketchy to me to see all of these folks start talking about how this is one of those things where, you know, this is one of those things where like it's a blessing. I'm like, a cousin of mine actually has like kind of succumbed to this, and she's like, she was calling it a blessing, and nobody who's involved in this shit is really trying to hear about it being a scam, right? So one of the things I did, man, of course, if I'm seeing this a lot, I kind of look up on it. I try to find out as much as I can about it. I came across this video on YouTube that kind of explains how this sort of scam actually works. So, let's see. Let me refresh this page here so that I can show you guys this video, and it explains how this Blessing Loom scam works when you put up your $100 and you're expecting $800 in return. Let's see, where is it? I thought I had this page loaded up already, but of course your man Span did not. Okay, there it is. So let me start this up.
So someone has invited you to gift $100 in effort to turn it into 800. These eight.
Uh-oh. That's not what I meant to do.
So someone has invited you to gift $100 in effort to turn it into $800. And you say, how does that work? They send you a link to a WhatsApp chat. And in that chat, you see a picture of a loom. And they say, here's Sue, and here is her PayPal account. Pay $100 to it, and you can get a blue space. You do it. You have a blue space. Now you and everyone else in this loom is working to invite people to fill the other blue spaces. Everyone on a blue space pays $100 to the person on the center space. So little by little, the loom fills up, and now the loom will split into two. Everyone will move one space closer to the center. The people who are on pink separate into two separate looms where they are each on the center, and they take everyone on their side with them. So Joe becomes purple. Liz and Cal, who are on green, become Joe's pinks. And everyone who was on Joe's side, who was on green, blue, now becomes green. And everyone in this group will work to fill these eight spaces, paying $100 to Joe's PayPal account. The cycle continues on until everyone has gone through the center to receive their $800 from the outside ring.
All right. So that's how that supposedly works, right? Now, the problem with stuff like this is you always run the risk of folks not keeping up with their end of the bargain when it comes to, once they get their money, reinvested into this scheme, right? So you got the people on the outside who are waiting for their payout who may never get it, because if one person gets their $800 and then they just say, fuck it, now you're out $100 and you never got your opportunity to get your $800. There's too much potential for somebody to get burned using this shit. And so I'm imploring a lot of y'all, man, please, 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 don't fall for the banana.
We're not going to fall for a banana in the tailpipe. You're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe?
Real talk, man. The potential, especially around the holiday season, for somebody to not like to lose out on $100, because they damn sure really like in a time like today where like money is really kind of hard to come by for a lot of folks. Yeah, telling them they can get $800 with very little effort sounds really fucking good. It sounds too goddamn good. Too good to be true. And I'm seeing people evangelizing this shit like, yo, man, I'm not, yo, if you don't get your money, then I'll give you your $100 back. Like, they are really evangelizing this shit to the point where it's like, yo, man, y'all starting to sound like preachers. Y'all starting to sound like a whole bunch of preachers. Like, yo, you got to have faith, man. You got to have faith that the system works. Like, nah, nigga. No. Far too much potential for somebody to, like, not get their payout. You got to wait for your turn. You put up $100 and you hope that everybody else does what they're supposed to do. And if they do what they're supposed to do, maybe you get $800. But if they don't, you out $100. Come on, man. Gotta be smarter than that. Now, for those of y'all who have gone through this and it's worked for y'all,
well, that'll be a monkey's bare-assed uncle.
Real talk. But it's gonna be far more y'all who gonna get upset when PayPal starts figuring out what the fuck is going on with all these accounts and everybody doing this blessing loom scheme. Y'all gonna be upset when those reverses start happening and everybody's looking at you like, well, where the fuck my money at? Now you got a problem. So yeah, man, this blessing loom scam, man, that's exactly what it is. It is a fucking scam. Stop letting y'all friends get y'all involved in this bullshit. I'm not about the business of knocking anybody's hustle, but when that hustle has the potential to fuck up people's money, yeah, man, don't do it. Don't do it. Call me a hater. Don't do it. If it sounds too good to be true, goddamn it, it is. Nobody gets $800 for doing nothing, man. Real talk. So that's going on. Another thing happened, man. Just this week, man. As a matter of fact, just yesterday, man. The new Jordans came out. The Jordan 11s, the Space Jams, right? With the 45 on the back. Those came out yesterday morning, right? And I did cop a pair. Your man Span copped a pair. I'm waiting for mine to be delivered, man. They shipped today. So I'm waiting for mine to actually be delivered. But a lot of folks, man, were waiting in line to get them a pair of the Jordan 11s, man, the Space Jams, right? And I was trying to, like, I'm not real big on, like, the whole waiting in line thing. So, like, I got the Nike sneakers app on my phone and on my tablet. I actually tried to buy 3 pair. I needed to, like, here's what happened, man. I always planned on getting myself a pair, right? I always planned on it. What I didn't know was that my daughter also liked Jordans. And she wanted some Jordan 11s. Like, I took my daughter out on Black Friday. We were doing some browsing. I was really trying to pick my daughter's brain as to what, you know, what kind of stuff she wanted. And the Jordans that she wanted wasn't in the store. So I pulled the app out. I'm like, well, what are you talking about? And of course, she picked out some 11s. So I'm like, fuck. So now I got to get her some 11s. Then I look up and my wife was like, yo, she wanted some 11s too. So I'm like, fuck. All right. So I got to try to figure out how I'm going to get 3 pair of J's without leaving my crib, right? So I'm sitting on my couch here, and I'm on my phone, I'm on my tablet, so I'm like, I'm going to get at least 2 right off the bat. I'm going to try to get at least 2 right off the bat. So I got it all queued up. I'm ready to go, and I hit, I put place order on the app on both of them, right? So I'm waiting. It's like, I'm in line, and it's coming down. One of them was like, you got it. The ones that for me said, you got it. The ones for my daughter, you don't got them. So now I got to go back into the app. I'm like, okay, I got to go back in here, try to re-put it in, and it's not working. It's giving me error messages every time I tried to put it in. So then I close the app, I open the app back up, and when I open the app back up, lo and behold, every motherfucking size from size 6.5 to 13 was sold out in under 3 minutes. Every last one. Right? Before the end of the day on the Nike sneakers app, that shoe was fucking sold out. Right? So now I'm sick because I only got myself a pair. I haven't got my wife a pair. I haven't got my daughter a pair. And now I know they're going to be looking at me like funny. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, so you made sure you got yours, but fuck us, huh? And that is not what was going on. I was desperately trying to get those shoes, right? So ironically, my wife wakes up and I'm telling her about what happened, and she was like, well, it don't matter that much. Like, I'm dead ass. I'm like, I'm fucked up, right? Because I know my daughter wants these shoes too. So I'm like, yo, I'm not sure. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Cause like at this point, like, yo, if I was going to go outside and go to somebody's store and try to buy them, yeah, I'm probably going to be SOL that way too. Ironically, man, about 2 hours later, my wife finds a pair in her size on Finish Line's website. So she copped her pair. Now my daughter doesn't have a pair, and I'm assed out, man. I'm like, yo, I got to figure it out. What the fuck to do? Now, ironically, my daughter did ask me for either the Jordans or a pair of Timberlands. And I'm trying to figure out when did my daughter get into Timberlands, and when did she get into Jordans so heavy? Right? Like, I'm trying to figure this out. I'm getting, like, this is how I know I'm getting to that space where I'm getting old. And my daughter is like, she's 13, man. And some of the stuff that she likes, like, I'm trying to, like, stay abreast of it because I'm like, yo, when did she get into this? Like, she wasn't always in the J's. Now she's in the J's. She wasn't always in the Timberlands. Now she's in the Timberlands. I got to try to keep up. The shit ain't easy. And especially when my daughter is asking me for a pair of $220 gym shoes that I could get her if the app would have let me buy more than one pair of shoes. Right? But it wouldn't let me do it. So, yeah, I know that doesn't sound like, you know, like, yeah, boo-hoo, Span. You couldn't buy 3 pair of motherfucking $220 J's, man. Fuck you. No, it's not it's not like that. I'm just saying, man, my daughter asked me for something and I couldn't get it. And one of the things about it was I started seeing how big this release was, right? I really didn't understand how big that release was going to be, where you did have folks waiting in line for like 18 hours waiting for this shoe in the cold and stuff like that. But then on top of that, I remembered it's like it's a Jordan release and niggas are going to be like clockwork. You're going to have the people that's not really into Jordans. You're going to have these niggas making sure they make fun of the niggas that like Jordans, right? So I'm watching everybody talking about something. Couldn't be me. I ain't waiting in line for that kind of shit, man. Y'all niggas wouldn't go wait in line to go vote, but y'all waiting in line for J's. You know, like, you're like, nigga, how you know? How you know everybody in that line didn't go vote? How you know everybody in line don't have a job? How do you know niggas that's waiting in that line don't have the money to blow, so to speak? Mind your fucking business. This is another thing, too, that kind of gets on my nerves. And I've seen this a lot, man. It's a lot of you niggas. Like, pocket watching is almost as bad as meat peeping. The shit is a fucking disease, man. And if y'all would take two doses of mind of your fucking business, it'll clear right the hell up. It will clear right the hell up. Now, I know some of you niggas be like, well, it's all about priorities, man. You know, they buying Jordans, but they don't have life insurance. You don't know that. They buying Jordans, man, but, you know, they ain't going to a parent teacher conference. You don't know that. Maybe some of the people that you know may have their priorities fucked up, but you can't then project that onto everybody else, man. Leave people the fuck alone. Are they asking you for a loan? Are you paying any of the bills in their house? If not, shut the fuck up. Real talk, man. Shut the fuck up. Mind your business, man. Why is that so hard? There's a contingent of niggas that love to feel like they're better than other black folks. So if they see black folks in something like going and buying something that they enjoy, then, you know, well, I wouldn't do that, nigga. Like, okay, so you won't. So you wouldn't. That doesn't mean somebody else would not. And it's a little tiresome. At this point, y'all niggas are just as predictable. Like, every year, Jordans come out, and every year, you niggas are sitting off to the sideline talking shit about those who go and wait in line to go buy them some J's. Look, I'm not going to wait in line. If I don't get them, then I don't get them. But I'm not going to knock anybody who is waiting in line to go get them some J's. Right? I'm not paying they bills, bruh, and neither are you for a lot of y'all. So, yeah, man, leave folks the hell alone. Let them enjoy their money. Let them enjoy their shoes. Let them enjoy the hobby of buying shoes and trading shoes and flipping shoes, because, it, you know, that kind of shit does happen. Niggas about, like, right now, you can go see them same Jordan Space Jams on sale on eBay for $300, $400, $500. You know why? Because them shits are sold out and niggas are capitalists. Them same people you talking about wasting their time trying to flip that shit to make them some more fucking money. Mind your goddamn business. Jesus. And I wasn't really trying to get pissed by that, but goddamn. Shit. All right, man. Now, right now, man, I kind of want to, I want to apologize to my listeners. And I want to apologize to my listeners because the last week when I put out my episode, The Bubble, episode 135, you know, we were talking about Tommy Lauren and Trevor Noah and the interview that Trevor Noah had with her on The Daily Show and whether or not he should have had her on The Daily Show at all. And I listened back to that episode. As a matter of fact, I was at work. I do listen to my own podcast sometimes. If any other podcasts will tell you that they don't, they lying their ass off. But I listened back to that episode, and as I was listening to it, there was a couple things that stood out to me. The first thing was I made that shit so about me. I made it about me, and I really should not have. Right? I made it a personal thing about some of the things that, you know, that goes on with my show and some of the things that I've heard and, you know, like being in the podcast community, like, you know, some of the things that I've dealt with on a behind the scenes sort of level, right? About certain guests being on the show and whatnot. and the sincerity that I have for a lot of the views that I hold because I am friends with certain people. So I made it personal, and I probably should not I really should not have made it a personal thing when talking about that Tommy Lauren Trevor Noah interview, right? And another thing too is I completely missed the point that a lot of critics of Trevor Noah were making when they talked about the reasoning for having a person like a Tommy Lauren on his show. I missed it completely. And so for that, I want to apologize and tell my listeners that, yo, your man Span fucked up. I was wrong, man. I was so fucking wrong. And the reason that I say I was wrong was I posed a question last week. And the question that I posed was, can you legitimize stupidity by mocking it publicly, right? Because I looked at that interview as Trevor Noah mocking Tommy Lauren on a public forum. And that wasn't necessarily the case of what was going on with Trevor Noah and Tommy Lauren. He was trying to have a legitimate conversation with Tommy Lauren on The Daily Show. And I know I spoke about, you know, us living in bubbles, and sometimes we have to speak with others who might not necessarily carry the same viewpoints that we do. And so because of that, we sometimes pigeonhole ourselves into, you know, an echo chamber where everybody just agrees with everything we say, and we never hear anything that challenges our frame of reference or our point of view, and we are handicapped because of it. But the thing that is bothersome about Tommy Lauren being on The Daily Show is that it gives weight to a line of thinking and to a frame of thought that really should be relegated to a fringe point of view. So Tommy Lauren is on record of saying that, of comparing the Black Lives Matter. She's on record of saying that the Black Lives Matter movement is on par with the KKK. Right, she compares the Black Lives Matter movement to the KKK. She is on record of comparing the Black Panther Party to the KKK. Right, Tommy Lauren is on record of saying some pretty Tommy Lauren doesn't have any real factual information, and those who follow Tommy Lauren, they're not really interested in factual information. So having a conversation with someone like that who can ignore the facts of a situation is fruitless. And when you bring them on your platform and you try to have this back and forth, it gives them equal playing. It puts them on an equal plane when really what they're saying doesn't deserve that equal plane. There isn't always another side to the story, so to speak. There isn't always that other side of the story, because the other side of the story is probably some fucked up shit. And the rhetoric that Tommy Lauren spews is some pretty fucked up shit. So on one hand, you have a person like a Trevor Noah who is trying to have a conversation and maybe trying to change some minds of those who are of the Tommy Lauren audience. And then you have the Tommy Lauren who is coming on there to burnish her brand and to say that she was in the lion's den and she held her own, despite the fact that everything that she said was some bullshit. And for those who follow Tommy Lauren, they're not interested in trying to find a common ground, or they're not interested in trying to learn that what they believe is bullshit. What they're looking for is the ability to be seen on an equal playing field with those who they believe are, you know, supposedly the elites. Because you hear that a lot. You hear that a lot among Trump voters. The elites are doing this. The elites are doing that. And they're no better than I am. They think they know better than we are. And they voted for Trump, ironically, although Trump has been a part of the elite, especially the financial elite, for quite a while. But he made them feel like he could understand what they were going through. He made them feel like he understood their points of view. So when they hear Donald Trump or Tommy Lauren talk about, you know, Mexicans and disparaging terms and how we have to put a wall up on the border and we have to curb this illegal immigrancy, when you look at the actual numbers where we have a net immigration loss, there isn't a whole lot of people coming across that border illegally in the ways in which they were talking about. If you look at the statistics and where they come from, like I believe this is from the Bureau of the Census Bureau. When you look at that, there is actually a net loss in immigration in the United States of America, that those immigration numbers are not as high as those of the Tommy Lauren and Donald Trump ilk would have you believe. When you look at that and it's factually incorrect, they're not interested in learning about that. It's counter to their narrative. They have absolutely no... they have no reason to believe it. Donald Trump and Tommy Lauren both have conditioned their audiences to believe nothing from the quote unquote mainstream media. So people a lot smarter than me were right out in front and said that it was dangerous for Trevor Noah to have someone like a Tommy Lauren on his show. People like Leslie Mack over at the Interracial John podcast, Marissa of the Way on Twitter, man, she's been speaking on this passionately for the last couple weeks, man. Chris over at the Movie Trailer Reviews Insanity Check, man, he's been talking about this. People a lot smarter than me were way out in front on this than I was. And I messed up. Like I missed the boat on this. I missed the boat on this because I'm looking at it and I'm thinking that this is a public mocking. And then you look up and you see Trevor Noah, you know, saying, you know what, you have an open invitation to come on my show anytime. You got Charlamagne Tha God coming on television or going on Twitter and talking about how Tommy Lauren built her audience or built her platform, and he wished that black women would build their platform in the ways that Tommy Lauren did, as if he's completely fucking oblivious to the black women who already have done so and have not been put on the pedestal that a Tommy Lauren has been put on. Tommy Lauren has been legitimized by being on The Daily Show. They gave her a completely mainstream platform to spew whatever bullshit it is that she spews. So it's not, how can I put this? It's not out of the norm now for somebody to suggest that Black Lives Matter is equivalent to the KKK, although Black Lives Matter has lynched absolutely no one. It is not uncommon for a Tommy Lauren to not have an answer for what is an acceptable way of demonstrating or protesting injustices in America. So if you sit down to yourself or kneel in the corner to yourself, you're mad about that. If we march in the streets, you're mad about that. If we are on a bullhorn, you're mad about that. There is no acceptable way to demonstrate or protest what you deem an injustice in America, according to Tommy Lauren. She couldn't answer the fucking question. Trevor Noah asked her that shit 3 different times. She never answered the question. I missed it. Like the New York Times, right? The New York Times, all of a sudden, after this interview, the New York Times wrote up a profile piece on Tommy Lauren. And this came out this came out December 4th, and this was from the New York Times, man. This is like Tommy Lahren, a 24-year-old conservative commentator, had left her bubble of more than 4.3 million followers on social media last week to appear in front of a progressive, diverse audience that attends the weeknight tapings of The Daily Show. Before the interview began, Mr. Noah requested that the audience be polite to Ms. Lahren. Imagine that you're at Thanksgiving again and your racist uncle walked in, he joked. Let's see. Ms. Lahren hosts a nightly show, Tommy for the Blaze, a website, TV station, and subscription service created by the conservative media personality Glenn Beck. And her reputation among supporters, detractors, and her prodigious online following has been built on the commentaries on which she closes each show. A segment from August featuring an incendiary address to the San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick has been watched on Facebook 66 million times. Ms. Lahren criticized Mr. Kaepernick, who had been protesting racial oppression by kneeling during the national anthem before games, pointing at unemployment and homicide rates, and saying that black people should take responsibility for their communities being run into the ground. Ms. Lahren has been critical of prominent black people like President Obama and Beyonce in commentaries that have gone viral. See, she had a following online, as a lot of these folks do. You got Alex Jones, who has a following online, who now also has the ear of the fucking president-elect. But these people were reduced to the margins because those references, that frame of thought, that ideal was always seen as a little off. And it is a little off. It is devoid of any common sense. It is devoid of logic. It is devoid of factual information. And yet, The Daily Show has now had her on. The New York Times has already had her on. They've already done a profile piece on her. They're talking about her on. You got Charlamagne the God parading around town with her. You got Trevor Noah, you know, going out for drinks and whatnot later on after the show. This is potentially becoming one of those things to where dangerous rhetoric like that becomes mainstream. In much the way that, like, and it's not just her. It's not just her. You got Kayleigh McEnany on CNN. You also have Scotty Nell Hughes. You got Jeffrey Lord. You got Corey Lewandowski, who was also Donald Trump's campaign manager, who also became a talking head on CNN. So these ideals, these far-right, alt-right, white supremacist ideals are being watered down and considered to be legitimate counterpoints to common sense. So while you have black people on television and you got black people on radio and you got black people on podcasts and not just black folks, you got LGBTQ, you've got the Islamic community. You got all of these people who are speaking up on behalf of their very fucking existence. And then you got somebody who's saying, nah, it's not that important. I feel like, you know, I feel like you're wrong. And it's given equal weight. And that is the danger. And that is the normalization. And that is what the fuck I missed last week. That is what I missed last week. And so for the listeners of the Span Report, those of you who follow me and those of you who listen to this show regularly, man, my apologies, because I completely fucking missed that. I completely missed that and while I was making this shit about me. And for that, I apologize, man. I was wrong. I was flat out fucking wrong. So, yeah, man. Sometimes players fuck up. Shit. Sometimes players fuck up, and I certainly did last week, man. I apologize for that and for not having my hand or not having my finger on the pulse of what was really happening, what was really going on. And I do want to shout out Marissa and Leslie Mack and Chris for being at the forefront of that, man. And being one of the first people to be like, yo, man, from the very beginning, they were like, nah, this is some bullshit. Fuck that. And I didn't get it. I didn't see it at first. At first. You know, but at this point, man, is one of those things, man, where the only thing, I guess, like, as a podcaster that I can do, man, is to combat that, you know, that sort of rhetoric with, you know, the truth, man, and the factual information, and to bring factual information to light when I see it and how I see it. You know, I kind of take that as a responsibility with my position as a content creator, man, to bring up factual information, to, you know, to be aware of the nuances of these sorts of things. So, again, man, I want to shout out Chris. I want to shout out Janae. I keep saying Janae, Marissa and Leslie, man. Thank you guys for, being on the forefronts of that, man. Real talk. But it is time, man. It is time for our segments, and we got a couple ads. We got ass hat of the week this week. We got a new champ of the week this week. But first, we got to get to our ass hat.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
And our ass hat of the week this week is none other than. Let me not say none other than, because it's not like you motherfuckers. It's not like everybody knows this dude, but it is Dorsey Montgomery, man. Now, Dorsey Montgomery was a jury foreperson in the Michael Slager trial. Now, Michael Slager was the officer in South Carolina who was caught on video gunning down Walter Scott as he was fleeing. He shot Walter Scott in the back, right? Shot him in the back. And the jury in Michael Slager's trial could not come to a verdict, so it was declared a mistrial. While this is going on, man, Dorsey Montgomery has been going on a bit of a media tour. He's been on the Today Show. He's been on The View. He's been on a couple shows on MSNBC. And he's been talking about how the jury did not find maliciousness in what Michael Slager did the day he shot Walter Scott in the back. So I got this video of Dorsey Montgomery speaking about how they didn't find any maliciousness in what Michael Slager did to Walter Scott. Let me pull this up for you guys here just a second. Where is it? Where is it? Nope, that's not it. Here we go. So let me play this here.
With new insight on the mistrial declared earlier this week in the trial of a former police officer who shot and killed an unarmed black man in South Carolina. For 4 days, the jury deliberated over the fate of Michael Slager, but could not reach a unanimous decision. Dorsey Montgomery served as the jury foreman. He's along here with his lawyer, Ross Miller. Gentlemen, good morning to both of you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks. Excellent. Officer Slager said he feared for his life. Yeah. He fired to protect his own life after he thought Walter Scott had gained control of his taser. But we, so many people, have seen that video.
Yes.
That cell phone video, Mr. Montgomery, that shows Mr. Scott being shot in the back as he ran away. When you got into that jury room after the trial, how did you deal with that?
Well, at first, we looked at the evidence that has been presented, and looking at the video, of course, the video is something that's very shocking. So not knowing everything that we know now, of course, we can speculate. But after seeing the video and seeing the evidence, we understand just a little bit different now.
You personally, when you prepared and started deliberating, were you prepared to convict Officer Slager?
At that point in time, yes. At that point
of
in
what
time,
charge?
Yes. Initially, it was going to be murder. Initially, it was going to be murder. But after we looked at the evidence and read the loss and looked at the things that were presented to us by the judge, we had to come to find out that he didn't do anything malicious. He had manslaughter when he had a brief disturbance in reason for that moment. So based on the law, that would be classified under manslaughter, voluntary manslaughter.
It was reported that there was one lone juror who held out, but you say that that was not the case. This was an evolution of a number of people. Right. What happened inside there? How many jurors?
And that's why I'm here to correct that and speak up for my jurors who were with me in the deliberation room, because I come to find out that the media misconstrued that particular letter. When that letter was submitted on that Friday, it was because we had one individual who was just deadlocked that he wasn't changing, but yet we had five other individuals who were under. Decided. And so because of that, we went, and when the judge asked me, I believe that we could have deliberated just a little bit more to see if we could sway that particular juror and get those who were undecided to make a decision.
You're referencing a letter that was sent to the judge on Friday, mm-hmm. where the juror said that he or she could not in good conscience consider a guilty verdict.
Yes.
How did that juror explain that sentence, that letter to you?
He just had his own convictions, and I'll leave that right there.
You're the only African-American on that jury, correct?
I was.
11 other jurors, all white. Do you think race played any role in the deliberations and the outcome of this trial?
Due to the society that we live in, you know, race will always be a factor. But at that point in time, I do believe some jurors may have had that in their mind, but the majority of them didn't have anything in reference to race that may have played a factor in the decision.
Let me bring in...
All right. Now, yeah. I'm not buying any of this shit. I'm not buying that one person who watched a police officer shoot another person in the back as they were fleeing could not, like, I could not bring myself to a guilty verdict of what I just saw. I am not buying this, well, we saw other evidence and we could not come to a conclusion and we had five other people who were undecided and they really didn't, they were wrestling with this. Like, I'm not buying any of that shit. I'm not buying none of it. So for this dude to go out in front to put his face on the fact that they couldn't come to a decision to convict an officer who shot a person in the back as they were running away. Yeah, you get all the ass hats, son. All of the ass hats. And for that, what's this dude's name? Dorsey Montgomery. Yo, bitch ass gets the ass hat of the week here at the Sparrow.
Yo, Port. We got some hats now, motherfuckers.
But we do have a champ.
The champ is here! The champ is here! The champ is here!
All right, man. Now, this champ here, I don't even have a name for him. I don't know this dude's name. But I saw this video of this guy earlier this week, man, and he was the epitome of making the best of a bad situation. This man is a homeless person in, I believe, Los Angeles, California. He lives in an overpass in the Los Angeles area. He has made that overpass as luxurious as a homeless person could make it. So I got this video that I want to show you guys of this man giving a tour of his home under the overpass in California. So let me pull this up real quick and I'll show you guys this video. Check this out.
You have now entered Paradise Lane. How you doing, Tess?
I'm doing great.
That's it. All right. Well, let me just give you a little tour. This is my jacuzzi. We're going to start with jacuzzi. It holds 10 gallons of water.
He's got a refrigerator, y'all. For those of you, it's a refrigerator.
Being innovative. Here's my toilet. And people say, do it work? Yes, it works because we are up on the sewer. And we do number one and number two in the bag and throw the bag in the sewer. Wow. Moving right along. We have a lot of women, as you know. Guys stop. They like shoes, like we have ties on our car. I have a nice electric.
This man has
shoes,
a bookshelf with a bunch of women's shoes on it.
And this is my brother Dave. Alright, Dave, we come over and kick it with me. We just sit here drinking us a beer. This is my living room. Obviously you gotta have somewhere to drink.
He's got a couch.
Come on.
And a coffee table. And a love seat.
Now entered my man cave. This is where my quarters are.
He's got a bed with a canopy, with leopard, like, I want to say leopard stripes or tiger stripes.
They got to have somewhere to lay their head, too. Now, I had to give them.
He's also got a secondary bed.
And a jacuzzi, because they would have, you know. And I rented out for $25 a week. $10 a night. So they can come out to bed, crawl out to bed, sit down and smoke a cigarette, get over there and jump in the jacuzzi. This is my little snack stand. I'm just starting it. They like to eat. Snack something off the stand. This is my smokehouse. I call this my smokehouse.
He's got a tent.
You gotta have somewhere to smoke for the smokehouse. This for rent as well. $10 a night, $25 a week. And that ends my tour. However, I'm still building. As you can see, I'm going all the way to the light there. So, welcome to LA. And welcome to Paradise Lane.
Paradise Lane. My man had made a home for real under the overpass, man. And the reason that, like I said, the reason that this man gets the champ of the week this week here at the Spirit and Poor, man, is like, with, despite all of the bullshit that's going on in the world, man, that man has found a way to make a way out of no way for himself. And I can't knock it. I cannot knock it, man. That man has found a way to make himself comfortable and also become exercising his entrepreneurial spirit by renting out space, renting out his smokehouse, all of that stuff, man. It's I admire his ingenuity, man. So for that homeless guy is the Spare Report Podcast champ of the week this week, man. But it is time for me to get out of here. But before I go, of course, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spare Report Podcast and let your voice be heard, man. I got to remind you, hit me up at that hotline, area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. I play them here on the show and respond in kind. Also, you can email me here at feedback@thespareandreport.com. That's feedback@thespareandreport.com. Leave me those emails. I'll respond to those here on the show as well. Also, hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Spam, man. So go ahead, follow me there. We can chop it up throughout the week. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Get alerted when I go live, man. Participate in the show as I'm doing this live. Be in the chat room. All of that, man. You can watch the show as we're doing it on YouTube, man. So go ahead and subscribe to The Spare Report right there on YouTube. And for all of your Spare Report needs, man, go to www.thespareandreport.com. Vote in the polls. Leave your comments there. Watch the show. Everything is available there on thespareandreport.com. And because it's Christmas, I do have a poll, man. What is your favorite black holiday movie, man? I got 5 movies up there. I think I got Best Man Holiday, This Christmas, Almost Christmas, The Preacher's Wife, and it's another one. I can't think of it right now. But go ahead, man, and vote in that poll and let me know what you guys think. The results will be read on the next episode of The Spare Report, man. But it is time for me to get out of here. And I appreciate those of you who watch. I appreciate those of you who listen. And until next time, fam, peace.